So I tell people to think about what they're doing on a daily, weekly, or monthly basis, because all automation is repeatable. And if it's yearly, probably not worth automating, right? Unless it's like yearly and it takes a month. Right? Like if it's yearly and it takes a month, okay, yeah, it's time to go look at that. But look at what you're doing daily, look at what you're doing weekly, look at what you're doing monthly, and start to pick apart what are those things that you're doing on a repeated basis. That's the first place that I go for candidates for automation.
Hello and welcome to the Small Business School. My name is Craig Staley, 20-year retail veteran, e-commerce practitioner, and entrepreneur. Each week, I will interview a new small business owner that we can learn from to take our businesses to the next level. Now, let's go. Today, we have an expert in all things automation on the show. He is Will Christensen, the co-founder of Data Automation. Will shares his expertise on a variety of automation topics, and if you're thinking you're overwhelmed, maybe need a few extra hands, hiring might not be your first step. In fact, you may be able to find a few hours in your day just by automating some of your repetitive processes. Will walks through a few popular DIY automations that you can get done with a tool called Zapier. So, without further ado, Will Christensen. All right, I'd like to welcome my next guest. It is Will Christensen. He is the co-founder and CEO of Data Automation. How's it going, Will?
Going well. Excited to be here.
Thanks for coming on. Can you give the listeners a little bit of your personal background?
Yeah, so I have always been kind of an automation junkie. An app junkie is what I like to call it. Like I'm constantly like, oh, I wonder if there's an app for that. And I'll go dig up and find and figure out what's going on. And automation, I don't know. It's always been something I've been interested in. So I didn't really call it or know that automation was what it was that I was interested in. I just knew that I liked the idea of saving time. I went to work for an advertising agency, and I was the unpaid intern at the time. And then I quickly got promoted to media buyer's assistant and was actually paid. But they were like, cool, so this job needs a lot of detail-orientedness. And I was like, oh, crap. In the back of my mind, there was this little voice screaming, what are you doing? Like, what are you thinking? Because I'm detail-oriented was not something I would have called myself. But I was so done with the sales gig and the sales world. I was like, yeah, I can do that. So if you're ever interviewing someone and you ask them point blank, can you do this? And they say yes, maybe out of self-preservation, they might tell you that they're going to figure it out.
Yeah.
And so that was pretty painful. That was what I did first. It took me a while to kind of get my arms around what was going on. And they introduced me to 16 hours a week of copying and pasting. Just like line by line, putting
like
together
Excel
these,
or what?
Yeah, Excel. Yeah. So I was doing reports for all of the clients that they were running display ads and PPC ads and all sorts of different stuff like that. And I was creating a report in Excel pivot tables that would spit out all of the different graphs on, you know, the average click-through rate per day and everything that was going on. So it was really valuable data. It wasn't meaningless as far as what I was doing, but man, did I want to shoot myself because it was the same thing over and over and over. So I proceeded to very quickly get bored of that, but I also knew that there had to be a better way. And so I started doing, you know, all sorts of stuff in terms of like Googling how to do macros and all sorts of different things like that. And I eventually automated that whole process from 16 hours down to just 2 hours a day or 2 hours a week. And it was, I mean, mind-blowingly better. But it took, I mean, I probably spent 300 some odd hours teaching myself how to code and how to tie macros together and how to like have Excel open web browsers and all sorts of crazy stuff.
So once you did that, what did your boss think? I mean, did you let him know right away or they were just like, man, Will, you're really quick at this now?
Well, it's funny because they would come in kind of in the background and they knew that I had more capacity, but they didn't really understand where it had come from. they just were like, okay, cool. And like, eventually I showed them and they kind of like patted me on the back and were like, good job, Will. And I was like, I should get a commendation for this. Like, I just like, in any case, I looked at it and I thought, man, I really did not get what I was hoping for out of automating all of that. I did get the pleasure of not having to do it manually anymore. And I mean, honestly, I probably need to thank them someday because it led me to my career. It led me to what I really wanted to do, which was created. I remember telling my dad, I was like, oh, I should create like an efficiency agency, because that's what I was calling it. I was like, I'm going to make the world more efficient.
Yeah. And so talk about that. How'd that lead you to your business? How did you get it started?
So about probably 2 or 3 years after that experience, I'd worked my way up to be a media director at HyperX Media. An old friend of mine reached out from Georgia. I was in Salt Lake City, Utah at the time. And he reached out and said, hey, I think you should come out and join our tech incubator. We're working on this we've got this product and I think you'd be a great marketing guy for it. And, you know, I think you could pitch the board on creating something else. And I was like, all right. So we went out there, we looked at it, we prayed about it. We decided, you know what, we're going to do this. So we picked up and moved, me and my wife and my little girl. She was just over a year old, moved to Georgia, and we lived there for 4 years. And about 8 months after I'd been there, I gained the trust of the board and pitched them on the idea of, hey, let's create an automation consultancy. Let's create a company that hacks different software tools together and automates things. Mm-hmm. This is back in 2016. And now it's 2020, and that's what we've been doing for 4 years, is helping people automate different manual processes inside their businesses.
That's awesome. So what can you give us some examples of what kind of stuff are you guys automating for people?
I mean, you name it, we automate it. So I tell people to think about what they're doing on a daily, weekly, or monthly basis, because all automation is repeatable. And if it's yearly, probably not worth automating, right? Yeah. Unless it's like yearly and it takes a month. Mm-hmm. Like if it's yearly and it takes a month, okay, yeah, it's time to go look at that. But look at what you're doing daily, look at what you're doing weekly, look at what you're doing monthly, and start to pick apart what are those things that you're doing on a repeated basis. That's the first place that I go for candidates for automation. So mm-hmm. we do everything from email Y comes in and we need to extract these 3 data points and put them into this spreadsheet. Or, you know, we're monitoring our competitor's product on this website, and when the price changes, we need to change our price as well. When this notice comes in the mail, we have to scan it in here. And when that scan document hits this file folder, it also needs to be emailed out to these 6 people. When this order comes in from Shopify, we then need to send that order off to a manufacturer to get it fulfilled. And oh, by the way, there's tracking information over there. So, I mean,
almost any repeatable task.
Yeah, pretty much. You name it. Like, think about what you're doing. If you're looking for some candidates, think about things you're doing with spreadsheets, email, calendars. Those are all very, very, very strong candidates for automation.
Got it. So tell us a little bit about your process with your clients. Do clients usually come to you and say, hey, Will, I've got this process, I need to find a way to automate it? Or do they say, hey, you know, I know we probably have a lot of inefficiencies. Can you come into the business, you know, talk to our employees and help us identify those inefficiencies? I mean, how does it usually work with you and your clients?
Both, actually. So we figured out pretty quickly that in terms of building a small business, there's a book that I recently finished, well, haven't finished it yet. It's called Traction. And it talks about the 19 different channels or marketing channels or ways that you can go out and kind of interact with the world and market with them. And it talks about like, well, what's the most effective channel? Did automation discovered that the most effective channel was actually partners? And so we reached out and became a Zapier certified expert. So we were a Zapier certified expert before there were Zapier certified experts. We were also a Zapier app developer. We're number 2, and there's only 2 in the world, Zapier app developers. So we build on the front end and the back end of Zapier. And then we also discovered several other SaaS companies who had similar problems. People were coming to the platform and they needed help connecting to X, Y, and Z. And so we figured out that it was better actually to go out and advertise through our partners to become the trusted advisor over their API than it was for us to just broadly, you know, spam the world and say, hey, we can help you automate. And so, you know, we do get some leads where they come in and they're like, oh yeah, like I need to automate this specifically, or I need to look at that. And that's valuable, and we're able to help people. But what we've discovered is that over time, that isn't as effective as finding somebody that you can kind of specialize in and be like their support team for integrations. So that was how we built and grew it, is people coming in. And to answer your question, yes, I have people who come in and say like, oh, like we don't really know what, you know, what to do. We call that an automation audit. For $200 to $300 per person, we'll go in and interview every single person in the company, or at least one person from each job function, and try to gather all of the automation opportunities and then present that to the board. That's been mildly successful. We've done probably 5 to 7 of those over the course of the entire time we've done it. But most of the time, what we're doing is we're specifically partnering with people. You know, Zapier comes in and says, well, yeah, you got a code step in the middle of your Zap. We don't really support that. So you're going to need to talk to somebody from the experts team. And we jump in and help them that way.
Gotcha. Okay. Let's geek out a little bit here. Tell us maybe in your mind, the coolest automation that you set up for a client.
So I remember this one client where they had this really ugly task. So this is a company where they were managing a freelance network. And in the freelance network, they needed to go in and check on people who were no longer active. And you email them once and said, hey, looks like you haven't really taken on a deal in a while. Just checking to make sure that you're still out there. And you email them again in 7 days. Just making sure that you're actually interested in being part of the freelance network. Then you email them again. Hey, it looks like you're not really getting my emails here. So we're going to send you 2 more emails, but we're going to actually turn off your account in the freelance network. And so it was this like ongoing thing. And it was ugliest sin to like get in there and get it all. And we built, I mean, it was a massive spidery craziness. And I don't know whether or not, like we finished it. I don't know whether or not he actually ended up launching it inside his organization or not, but that was probably one of the most complex, and it was super fun too, because we were, you know, we had to go check the balance of their freelancer account, make sure they were paid out. And eventually the idea was to full blown go in and cancel that freelancer's account if they were in fact inactive. And so, I mean, it's not, let me put it this way. It is not outside the realm of possibility to completely automate some of that stuff. And even if it's a very complex workflow, like those check-in emails like that, like we made it so that if they replied, it stopped the whole flow. It's almost an email drip campaign, but we did it all through Zapier, that one specifically, Zapier and Gmail.
That's crazy. So I really want to try to provide a lot of value for the audience, kind of open their eyes to maybe some tasks that they're doing every day, every week, every month, like you said, that maybe they could be automating for themselves. You mentioned Zapier. You know, I know it's a tool that you guys use a lot. Can you just describe Zapier, kind of what it does and how it integrates with other tools first before we kind of go through some scenarios?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So Zapier is an automation tool that allows you to automate without having to code at all. So think of it as a Lego system. So Lego A is Gmail and Lego B is Dropbox. Every time an invoice comes in, every time an attachment with the word invoice goes in it, it gets copied to a specific folder inside Dropbox. Totally possible with Zapier. So you can listen for anything in 2,000 plus different applications. A trigger is what they call it. It listens for an event, and then it can have something happen for you, a domino, so to speak, and you can actually trigger multiple dominoes. Let's say that you wanted to have that invoice go into that Dropbox folder, and then you wanted a notification in Slack, and you wanted to have it call someone on the phone and literally in a robotic voice say, you have an invoice called this, and this is the contents, and read it out to you. You could do that. You could totally set it up so that it has, you know, email comes in and it triggers all of those other steps to happen.
So within Zapier, if you subscribe to the software, I think they have a free version as well, or up to a certain amount of zaps, I think.
Yeah, you get 100 tasks for free every month in the free version.
So within Zapier, basically, there's all these automations that are kind of pre-built, and you as a customer of Zapier would just need to kind of go in and set them up if you wanted, you know, Gmail to work with Excel or whatever you're trying to put together, right?
Yeah, so Gmail to Excel, for example, they have one that you can connect the online version of Excel that Microsoft's come out with, and you can create a new row in one of those spreadsheets, or Google Sheets, either one. Mm-hmm. You can create a new row in one of those spreadsheets from a new email coming in or anything like that. So they have what they call Zap templates that are actually pretty easy. They're kind of pre-filled, and it just kind of shows you, here's the, you know, generic way of setting it up, but it also lets you edit it on the fly and kind of mess around with what's going on in there.
Gotcha. So let's go through maybe a couple scenarios, if you don't mind. You know, we're talking about email right now. All of us use email almost every day. What are maybe some of your favorite automations with email using Zapier?
You know, email is actually a really interesting one because email is very transactional. Mm-hmm. It's something that happens over and over again. And commonly, you'll get notifications in there and all you're doing is forwarding that on to somebody else. Mm-hmm. So sometimes I will, and it depends on what I'm trying to do, but you can very easily set up automated forwarding rules just inside Gmail, right? So that's one way that I won't use Zapier for that. I'll just go into the auto forwarding rules in Gmail to go do that. If it's something that's more complex, like let's say that a new lead comes in off of your website and you want to go put that new lead into a CRM, or you want to trigger a text message to go out to that individual via a Twilio number. Twilio is a text messaging software that we use a lot. You can do all of that using Zapier. So you could set it up so that you automatically shoot a text message off to a new lead. You could set it up so that you can automatically call a new lead. Mm-hmm. I mean, anything like that. So emails coming in that are notifications for leads, it's gold. It's golden for that. I recommend using Zapier's own mail parser. If that doesn't work, Zapier has a mail parser that's just kind of included. If that mail parser doesn't work, there's another mail parser called mailparser.io. You can use that one as well. And if you're doing a bulk amount of pieces that are in there, Data Automation actually has one that we've built for bulk enterprise situations where we can do, you know, hundreds of thousands of tracking numbers and put them wherever they need to go as well. So email extraction or extraction from data from an email is a very common way. But if you want it, let's say that you had like, oh, I Slack somebody every time this email comes in. Just watch how often that's happening. And if it's happening enough, you could totally set up a trigger to listen for something to happen inside Gmail and then have it get pushed somewhere else.
That's great. Well, now another scenario. Let's say someone's a content creator like me. Maybe they have a podcast or a blog. They post it on WordPress. What are a few things that they could be using Zapier to automate in that kind of scenario?
So a couple of different things that's really cool. So let's say that you wanted to create a 5-minute just tips and tricks video every week, and you really didn't have a ton of content that you wanted to put into it other than just the video. Like, I just want this posted to my social media feeds, all of my social media feeds. I don't want to go use something like Hootsuite. I just want to, you know, get it to go that way. You could set up, so I like a software called Screencastify. Screencastify will allow you to record a video of your face along with a video of whatever on your screen, kind of like Loom. But what Screencastify does is it drops it into a Google Drive folder. Then your Zap looks for messages inside this Google Drive folder, and you can then funnel that video off to wherever you want. So you could post that video to WordPress. You could then post that video to all of the other places, along with sending a message to your assistant that you would like them to upload that video to otter.ai. I think Otter's even got a Zapier integration too, so you could pull out all the text associated with it and then come back and update your post with the text in that 5-minute video segment. So if you wanted an easy way to post videos regularly, or let's say that you just had like shout out lifestyle photos. Like you're just like randomly out and about and you're taking pictures of like for me, one of the things I love to take pictures of is automation. So when I'm like at the grocery store and I see something new, like this one grocery store, they actually give you scanners. They were kind of testing out this scanners thing. So like when you scan something, you scan it as you put it into the grocery cart. And then when you get to the checkout station, you scan the checkout station and it comes up with your total and you just walk out of the store. Like, yeah. So like I took a picture of that. I was like, that's automation. And so the funny thing is that picture is still sitting on my phone, but had I had this automation set up, I could have like specifically tagged this photo in a specific way and then had that automatically go another example of great automation. And it would have gone to my Twitter, my LinkedIn, everything that I wanted it to, and just posted through Zapier. So it's really powerful in being able to customize how you handle those sorts of that sort of information.
That's cool. So last example here, say you run a Shopify e-commerce store. What are some of the things that someone who's running an e-commerce store should be automating?
E-commerce is one of our sweet spots. We help a lot of people out in the e-commerce space. And one of the big things that we do with e-commerce is all about one of three things: inventory, orders, or tracking information. So we help people hook Shopify up to, let's say that they're getting inventory counts from a manufacturer and they want to like update those, or let's say that they're using something like a Shopify or one of those others that kind of comes in there. That's another way that we kind of go about that. So tracking information or orders, we send order information out to a manufacturer, just kind of depends across the board as far as, you know, how we handle that. So automating importing or exporting of tracking information or importing or exporting inventory data is another thing we do.
Because that's the kind of stuff that's happening daily for an e-commerce store. And obviously you don't want someone just assigning that tracking information constantly.
Yeah, to the wrong place or having to do it manually. Yeah.
Yeah.
Another place that I see a lot of people e-commerce wise is like very specific SKUs. Like let's say that they have they sell a t-shirt, but when they sell the t-shirt, they're not actually able to grab, let's say like the insignia or whatever it is that's supposed to go on the front of the t-shirt. And so they have to constantly email anybody who orders this to get a little more information. You can automate that whole process of getting that, you know, triggering that email. So like the minute it hits, you send the customer information. So like, let's say that you're selling something where you actually need to talk to the customer on the phone. You could automatically send that individual an email with a Calendly link to book you immediately, right? So e-commerce is a sweet spot because it's very transactional in its very nature.
Awesome. So we spent a lot of time on Zapier. What's maybe one other tool that you've used in your business that our listeners maybe should look into for theirs?
Yeah, I would highly recommend using Integromat or IFTT there are hundreds of them out there. The word you're looking for is IPaaS, Integration Platform as a Service. And so what I tell people, and I've done several different episodes around this, is that there's a methodology around kind of what you should automate. And I tell people 15 minutes a day, an hour a week, or an hour a month. Remember, I told you daily, weekly, monthly. 15-1-1-5 is what I call it. When you 15 minutes a day, an hour a week, or an hour a month, when you're doing something that takes that much time, do it 5 times manually. That's where the 5 comes from. And then you've got your idea for where to automate. And the first place I would go, honestly, to do automation is Google it. Go open up your browser and type in Trello to Zendesk. And then look at the first 2 or 3 pages of Google and see what's out there for what people are doing. And then add some more context to what you're trying to do. You'll be shocked at how many times you're not the first person who wanted to connect that platform to this platform. And then obviously there's a whole bunch of other steps in, you know, reaching out to the customer service team, talking to your mastermind or your group of people who also have businesses like yours to find out what automations they're using. And then last but not least, obviously posting it on Upwork or contacting a company like Data Automation to help you connect, you know, point A to point B.
Perfect. So let's switch gears a little bit. Who do you consider a mentor and what's the most important lesson that they've taught you?
You know, it's interesting when you talk about mentors. I could go down the road of like books that I've read by like Eric Ries, The Lean Startup. I could talk about Michael Gerber and The E-Myth. I mean, there are so many different people who have imparted incredible wisdom. But when you mentioned the word mentor, I actually would name several people who are inside my own internal network who wouldn't mean anything to you. They would be people who would be like, what? Who's that? And I think the thing that I want to pull out there for people that I think would be valuable is look for mentors in groups of people who have done exactly what you are doing. So it's likely that you're not the first person to come up with whatever you were doing. So data automation, for example, I'm not the first person to think about like, hey, let's put together a group of people who do services for other people. That's called an agency. And so one of the first challenges I would say as a small business owner is figure out what the thing you are doing is called, and then go find someone else who has done what you are doing and ask them to be a mentor, either formally or informally. So I have other people who have built businesses from the ground up who I meet with on a weekly basis, and I'm talented on the technical side. They're talented on the people side of things, and we trade every week. We jump on the phone and I give them advice about their business. They give me advice about my business or about an employee that's acting up or whatever else is there. So when you ask me who's a mentor and what's the most important lesson they've taught you, I would say the most important lesson I've learned is find a mentor. Like, and do it. Like I found a group of, it's called 10X Factory. It's a group of people that are all looking to 10X their businesses. And I found a group of agency owners in there. So a bunch of agency owners, and they all give me feedback at the same time every week. So I would call every single one of them on that call a mentor. And they've taught me all sorts of stuff. Now, I don't listen to every single thing they say, right? Or any one of them. And so as I've made business decisions, I found that if I can find a group of people, because that was one of my mistakes that I made, was, you know, listening to just my own intuition instead of finding people who had done what I needed to do already.
Sure. Do you find your best advice from mentors when you're talking about talking to multiple mentors? Do you find your best advice comes where you find you're talking to 10 of them and 5 of them are saying the same thing? Or are you just intuitively know, okay, this makes sense for my business?
So one thing that I had to figure out, even I was just, we're right in the middle of, we've grown to the point where we have 10 to 12 people inside data automation. I'm the visionary. I'm the guy who comes up with the new ideas. I really dislike the operation side of it. Like,
sure,
people management and some of those other things. I'm okay with it. I do an okay job, but I'm not, it's not my forte. And so hiring an operations guy was like, oh, I'd really just love somebody to come in here and kind of take over this seat of managing the day-to-day. Mm-hmm. That took me 3 or 4 weeks of research, probably longer, six weeks of research, before I went out to my network and said, hey, anybody know anybody that does this? And that, I got a couple of candidates. And then I took one of those candidates' information and his proposal and everything. And I pulled serious amounts of emotional currency that I'd been building up over the course of several weeks and said, hey, will you watch this initial video that I had with this guy and tell me if they're even good? And it was interesting because a lot of them are inside my business, a lot are outside of my business, some know me better than others. And I found that the ones who were closest to my business were like, that sounds like exactly what you need. And the ones who were farther away, but were more like they were agency owners, that mastermind I told you about, they thought I was crazy. So did I listen to them? No, I didn't. Not in this situation. I realized that I was not communicating the value of what's going on here. Now, I could be wrong. Well, maybe I made the wrong choice. My operations guy, check with me in 6 months. I'll tell you whether or not I made the right call. But I would say that oftentimes it was like 9 out of 10 or 10 out of 10 mentors all said the same thing. Like, yes, you should do it this way. And I always looked at the advice they gave me. Like I'd call my dad. My dad runs rental properties. I call my dad. He doesn't do anything with like this sort of stuff. And another mentor, I'd ask my wife, does this make sense to you? And she's like, well, I don't really understand a ton of what you do because it's all crazy tech stuff, but it sounds good. And so like a lot of times what I'm doing is just finding a sounding board to kind of find my own advice. So yeah, a lot of times you can find a consensus, but sometimes you didn't, and that's okay.
So final thing, where can our listeners find out more about data automation?
You can find me on LinkedIn. So it's just Will Christensen. I'm on LinkedIn and I do try to pay attention to every message that comes inbound there. I have some help there and they're pretty good about bringing things to my attention. So if you're looking for help there, you can also find us on our website, dataautomation.com, and you can check out some of our own automation. If you fill out the contact us form or the little sticky footer bar at the bottom that says schedule a free consultation, either one have automated responders attached to them that will show you how we don't just take every lead that comes through the door.
That's great. And then don't you have a podcast as well that kind of people might find helpful for automating?
Craig, I owe you one. I did mention the podcast before we went on the air, and I appreciate you bringing that up. Yes, that is correct. We have a podcast called Automate, Delegate, Eliminate, and we talk a lot about, especially the e-commerce. Our entire first season of our podcast is about e-commerce and automation, and our second season is all about, we're actually interviewing the founders of SaaS companies. So you mentioned WordPress. We got employee number one of Gravity Forms, which is a pretty popular WordPress plugin. We heard his story about how they started their company. It's a great episode. We got the founder of ClickUp on there. The founder of Zapier is going to be on there as well. So it's a pretty fun series. So I really appreciate you bringing that up, and I'll hand you that $50 bill later.
You got me intrigued. I'm going to check it out.
Yeah, and check it out.
You talked about LinkedIn. You know, if you can come up with automation that goes through your LinkedIn inbox and deletes all the sales contacts and keeps all the real contacts, you'd be set.
Yeah, I think I'd be a multi-billionaire if I figured out how to do that. That's actually not a bad idea, though. Something that like analyzes the content and says like likely spam and like hovers over the top of it. So you could, that's a very interesting, I might write that down. We can make a Chrome extension, Craig, and
there you go.
Start a new business there. That's not bad.
All right. Well, I appreciate you coming on today, and thanks for bringing all the value you brought today.
Yep. Glad to be here.
My takeaway today had nothing to do with automation. I think what Will said about finding a mentor that does exactly what you do was so wise, and it really hits home for me as it's something that I've done recently myself. And in less than a week of knowing this guy that's my mentor, he gave me an idea for a new product for my website design and marketing services business that is a complete no-brainer. I don't know why I didn't think of it before, and it's something I know will impact so many small businesses. In fact, maybe in the next week or two, I might do a solo episode to let you know about the product, because I really think it does add a ton of value. That was a really long-winded way of saying, just find that person who's been in your shoes before, who can really guide you, because it's so important. Sometimes life as a solo entrepreneur or a business owner can be a lonely one, and having that person in your life that gets what you're going through is just really helpful, even for your own sanity at times. If you're a small business owner or looking to start a business, join the Small Business School Facebook group. It's a private community of people focused on helping each other grow their businesses. Join the community and let's help each other take our businesses to the next level. We'll see you there. If you'd like to learn more about our guest today or be a future guest on the Small Business School, go to craigstaley.com/podcast for more info. And of course, it would mean the world to me if you'd click subscribe or write a review for the Small Business School in your podcast app of choice. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next week.